Thank the Lord for wonderful singing this morning, wonderful sound of that choir. Sounds like an angel band singing. So good, so beautiful, giving God glory. Thank you all for singing and worshiping in song. My voice is threatening to give out on me here, so I'm going to try to say what I want to say in as few words as possible. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 15. It's the last verse in this chapter. It's 8 words long. You probably have it memorized. If you don't, I hope you will commit it to memory. It's a wonderful verse. They all are. This is one of my favorites. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul writing, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes to us, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." 8 words long. The first 4 words are a thanksgiving. He says, "Thanks be unto God." And the last 4, he tells us what he's thankful for. God's unspeakable gift. A short verse packed with wonderful meaning. Unspeakable in this context means it can't be adequately described in words. We use words to try to express our emotions, our feelings, our thoughts. And Paul is describing this gift as beyond words. And that gift, of course, brethren, is the Son of God. God loved us so much that He gave a gift. The gift of His Son. He gave us life through His Son. Paul, in the verses before this verse, is writing about a gift of, I believe it's a money gift that one group of people sent to another. And he talks about that gift. But as he ends his thoughts, and as chapter 9 ends, I believe he changes here to another gift he wants to comment on and give thanks for, and that's God's unspeakable gift, the gift of His Son. Gift giving. We're in the Christmas season, aren't we? I look out at you all this morning and I see a lot of red. We have but to look around as we gather together or as we drive through town to see Christmas lights and evidences of this season. We see them. We have but to listen a little bit, turn on the radio or maybe the television, and we hear Christmas songs, Christmas carols, Christmas hymns. Sight and sound around us remind us of the season in which we are in. We have but to go in some of the stores and we see what people are doing. They're shopping for gifts. Gift giving is a part of the season. Paul says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." We give gifts, do we not, at this season of the year? I've heard discussions about why do we give gifts? Why do we do what we do? Why do we give gifts? Some say it's because God gave the gift of His Son and we want to emulate that. We want to celebrate that. We want to remind one another of God's gift of His Son to us. I've heard it said that we want to emulate the wise men who came to the young child Jesus' home or the house where He was, and they gave gifts for whatever reason. And as a verse was mentioned this morning in Bible study, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Maybe that's part of the motivation that we do give. We do give gifts in this season. I was thinking as I was writing my notes for this presentation this morning, this sermon, I thought about the term. Sometimes we say we get together and we exchange gifts. And we do that. Our family does that. And Wednesday night here, we will exchange gifts. That's a little different, I guess, than giving a gift. I think of a gift as given with no thought of receiving something in return. A gift exchange sort of loses the luster a little bit when you give in knowing you're going to get something back, but it's fun and there's not a thing wrong with that. And I'm glad we do it. But a gift exchange is more of a contract than nature, isn't it? I had a professor years ago who taught us about contracts. He was a good professor, and he often in the classes that I had that semester, he would define a contract. And he'd say a contract is a bargained for exchange. Something for something. When we exchange gifts, we're kind of like, I'm giving this and I'm looking for something in return. God, brethren, gave the gift of His Son when we had absolutely nothing to give in return or any kind of a nature of a contract. A quid pro quo, a what for what, a bargain for exchange. No, no, no. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were estranged from God. We were aliens from God. When God gave the gift that He gave, He did it in a unilateral manner. It only went one way from God to us. That makes the gift, that and other things, makes that gift unspeakable, hard, impossible for words to adequately describe it, but we try. We give to show love for one another and that we care for one another. And we do it especially this time of year. I have a challenge every year in buying for my fairly large family and children and grandchildren, a challenge of getting them something that I think they will enjoy and treasure. I try to put some thought into it, but I don't see them. I don't see them all that often, and we don't talk about really their needs as much and their wants. And so I usually give clothing, something sort of generic. I usually give them a little money. We can all use that, can't we? You can't hardly miss with that. But it's a challenge every year. Jan helps me. With thoughts on, she knows kind of what the females in the family would like, maybe, and better than I would. And so she does that, but it's a challenge every year. Let me give you a personal illustration, just as it happened to me in the last few days, as far as giving something somebody wants. You know, Jan and I went on a trip. We went to New York, and she took me, and for my birthday, and we went into Macy's department store. I don't know if y'all have been there or not. I had never been. I'd seen it on TV and seen it in movies and Macy's. And so we went, and it's an old department store, has escalators. One of the highlights she wanted me to see was the wooden escalator. They're telling how old that thing is, but we rode the wooden escalator. Has 7 floors, I think, in the building. Has restaurants on several floors. Fast food, and I don't know if it had a sit-down type order. We ate some pizza, and it was good. And it was good. It was nice. And in the men's department, I was looking for a Christmas tie. I bought this there. No, I didn't buy this there. I did buy a tie there, though, but that's what I was looking for. And in the men's department, I saw some coats. And I remembered that I had long desired a long coat. Sort of like a trench coat, but not a raincoat, a wool type coat, a kind of a dressier coat. And I saw some there, and I said to her, I think I want to look at that coat, some of those coats. I might buy me one. And so she said, well, let's try them on. So we tried on one and found one I liked and it fit. And so she took it out of my arms and said, I'm going to buy this for you. And we're standing at the cash register, and I said, baby, let me buy this. I said, I feel like I've asked you for the thing. I said, I've told you, you know, I want it. And she said, no. Her response was, no, you have helped me. And she said, your birthday is coming up and I didn't know what to get you. And now I know I'm just going to buy this for you for your birthday. So she got it for me and I've got the coat now I've wanted for a long time. I'll break it out and wear it over here sometime. But the thing I wanted to tell you was her statement to me was, you've helped me. Well, I'm glad I could and glad I did. And I'm thankful she bought me the coat. Now, moving on to segue into something else, what I want to say to you is there's a hymn and it's in our book. It's not the entire, it's based on a poem. And I mentioned this poem to you last year at this time. Christina Rossetti, I believe is the name of the woman who wrote it. She wrote a poem sometime, I believe, in the 1800s, maybe early 1900s. And it's been titled by other people, I think, What Can I Give Him? And so the preface to this, what I just said to you was, I have a challenge every year on what can I give them? What can I give my loved ones, my family members? What can I give? And it's an uncomfortable position to be in when you don't know really what to get or what to give, and it's frustrating. And that little hymn, that little short hymn, I have it on a CD by a group, and I've heard other people singing it. What Can I Give Him? It goes by other titles. But this lady wrote this poem, and one of the main thought in it is, what can she give to God? Have you ever heard the expression, here's a gift for the man who has everything or the woman who has everything? I mean, it's the advertiser saying to you, I feel your pain. You need to get a gift for this person, but they have everything. So here's the gift for you. It's an ad, you know, gimmick. And I understand that. What do you give to the person who has everything? As an aside, in my experience has been, my personal experience, with my parents, the older they got, the less really they needed as far as things go. And my late wife's parents, my in-laws, they were up in advanced age and they were very frugal. That's an understatement. They were very frugal. And every year, I might have told you this, please bear with me if I have, but every year we'd go see them at Christmas and take our children and we would give gifts, and it never failed. I don't think it ever failed. I don't ever remember them not doing this. We would give them a gift and we would spend a long time thinking about what we could give them, because for one thing, they didn't want anything and they didn't need anything. And so we would try to come up with something that they would keep. But they would invariably, when we would go to leave on, we'd always go on Christmas Eve and we'd leave late at night. At some point before we left, my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, usually at different times, would approach me or my Mari and say, they'd have their gift in their hand. And they'd have the wrapping paper, they would have crumpled it back up around the gift, and they'd say, now take this and get your money back. That's what they say to us. And they weren't trying to be rude. They loved us. They probably felt like we could use the money too, and we could have, but we had plenty. But they would say that. And it was like giving to somebody. What do you give to somebody that they need, and they really needed for nothing as far as material goods, and they lived very frugally, but that's what they would do. And we, every year, we needed help on, like Jan said to me, you have helped me. You know, we needed help on getting them something that they would want to keep. I'll tell you more about that sometime when I'm not preaching. We got a funny story about that. I'll tell you more. Remind me. We arrived on a gift one year. We said that they're going to love this. They're going to keep this, but it didn't work either. But I'll tell you more about that. But today, brethren, today, Christina Rossi, who posed the question, what can I give him? She's asking, what can I, as a human, as a sinful, fallen human, what can I give to God, the man who has everything? All right, I'm going to go to some verses now, brethren. I want you to go with me from the New Testament. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Would you go to Psalms, please? Would you go to the book of Psalms? It'll be Psalm 50. And I want to use this verse to demonstrate to you something you already know, but to demonstrate to you that God doesn't need, listen carefully, I'm not saying he doesn't desire something from you or me, but I'm saying he doesn't need anything from you or me. Psalm 50, verse 9, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. In this day that this was written, wealth and material possessions generally meant herds and flocks. And God is saying, I don't want a bullock out of your house or a goat out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. God says, I've already got it. I don't desire that from you. There's a verse in the Psalms that says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all already. Verse 11, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? God is saying here, the psalmist is saying to us, by inspiration of God, this is the message from God. I don't desire a material gift from you. There is nothing material that I need. There's nothing material you can give me that I desire. But then, brethren, I'm going to help you today. You want to give something to God, and you should, and I should. I'm going to do like Jan said to me, you've helped me. I'm going to help you right here. Watch this. The next verse, 14, God says, I don't need these things, but here's something I'll take. Here's something I desire of you. Verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. Brethren, it's amazing, but it's amazingly simple. It's amazing that God, who owns it all, and there's nothing at all material we can give him, but there is something that he desires and he will accept of us. And that is the simple thing of thanksgiving. And every single one of us can afford that. Every single one of us can do that. It's amazingly simple, isn't it? That God, who created the universe, God who owns it all, God who needs nothing from us. And he says, if I wanted a hamburger, I wouldn't tell you. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. You see how great he is? But he says, offer unto me thanksgiving. That one thing that cost us nothing. You don't need your credit card for that. You don't need cash for that. You just need a little bit of time and the right heart attitude. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Do for God, who doesn't need what we can offer, but he desires it. Do that. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Now, there's something else, brethren, that you can give to God. I said this morning at Bible study, and I saw heads nodding all around me. When I was middle-aged, and my mom was maybe about my age, we would talk about what she wanted for Christmas. Come in for Christmas on this day, and what can we get you, Mama? And her answer, it seems like, was always the same. I just want my children with me. I just want you all with me. And we always got her something. We spent some money on her and Daddy. We always got them something. I don't know what they did with it. Don't remember anything I ever gave them, really. But she said, and as far as what day we would gather, not all of us could make it on December 25th. And most years, it seems like, we would get together on a different day other than the 25th. And Mama would say, son, whenever y'all all come, it's Christmas. That'll be Christmas. And she meant that. She didn't want anything material. She wanted family. She wanted her loved ones around her. And that's the gift she wanted. Psalm 51, verse 16. The psalmist says it a different way. Same thing, a different way. For thou desirest not sacrifice, that is, something material, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God, the sacrifices God desires, brethren, are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In addition to the offering, brethren, your offering and my offering of giving of thanks to God, you can offer up to Him a broken spirit. And what that means in today's context, in this lesson context, is God, my spirit, I will break it so that I am willing to do your will and not my will. And that's pleasing to God, brethren. That's pleasing. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. I started probably 2 weeks ago buying things, and it's going to snowball. It's picking up. Then last week when we were in North Georgia, Jan went with me shopping. I bought, and it's snowballing, and hopefully by Christmas, boom, I'm finished. I'll have it done. It's a snowball effect. But with God, brethren, and offering thanksgiving to Him, I don't have to purchase anything. I don't have to walk around the store. I don't have to labor over what. I don't have to rack my brain. I don't need advice from others. I can simply fall before God. Literally helps on my knees, or I can sit and I can turn off everything and I can spend a few minutes in prayer thanking God for His unspeakable gift. I can spend time getting my heart right and saying to God, oh Lord, your spirit has been nudging me in this direction and I've been unwilling to go that direction. But I'm coming to you now, Lord, I'm going to break that spirit. I'm going to do what you'd have me to do. I'm going to go where you send me. Where your spirit leads, I'm going to follow. A broken and a contrite heart. That's a sacrifice that God desires, brethren. The third thing, and it's connected to the first, but the third thing is a verse from the New Testament. Would you turn to Hebrews there, please? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, the writer of Hebrews is admonishing us to offer a sacrifice to God. It says, by Him, therefore. And the Him pronoun there means Jesus. The word Jesus is in verse 12 above that. So he's still talking about Jesus. And he says, by or through Jesus, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. There, brethren, what shall you give Him? Give Him the sacrifice of praise. Give it to God. Give it to God continually. And stated another way, that is the fruit of our lips. Give Him praise in song. Give Him praise in word. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give Him praise. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to His name. What can I give Him? Those are things, brethren, you can give to the one who owns it all already, who has it all already. But He looks, brethren, to you and me to make those sacrifices. A sacrifice is a gift. He's looking to us for those things, brethren. And to add on a little bit, verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate means give here, benevolence, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When I put the gift in the gift bag and stuff that paper, whatever that paper, that soft paper all around it, and I give it to them, I watch, if I'm around on Sunday morning, I watch them when they open it, and I try to look at their facial expression to see if they're well pleased. It's hard to read sometimes. I want them to be well pleased, and I hope they are. But brethren, you don't have to wonder about this. You have no need to wonder about this. To do good and communicate, forget not. For with such gifts, God is well pleased. So simple, isn't it? We just need to do it, brethren. We need to do it. That's what you can give. As Jan helped me in deciding what to give me for my, get me for my birthday, brethren, I hope this morning I've helped you. I hope because of God's unspeakable gift, you want to give thanks to Him. And I hope that I've given you at least three or four ways this morning that you can give God gifts. The one who has it all already, but there's ways that you can bless Him. Now I want to do one more thing, maybe two, but very, very briefly. I want to go to my search engine here. I looked up, what can I give Him? Christina Rossetti. I put that in my search engine, and here's what came up. What can I give Him, poor as I am? That was the title of the poem, Christina Rossetti. Do you feel poor, brethren, in a sense, when you have the challenge of giving something to God? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel like, oh, I can't afford? What can I give God? Yes, I hope you do. I do. But God, through Christina Rossetti, and God, through the verses I've read you, He says, here's what you can give. I want to read you her entire poem. It's fairly short. But here it is. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan. The wind was howling. Earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. That's cold weather, isn't it? Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter, long ago, our God, heaven cannot hold Him, nor earth sustain. Isn't that what we just read? God says, I own it all. How can heaven hold Him? Heaven cannot hold Him, nor earth sustain. He is the self-existent one. There is nothing on earth that He needs to go out and gather to keep His existence going. Our God, heaven cannot hold Him nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth shall flee away when He comes to reign. He's mighty. He's almighty. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place suffice. Oh man, this is so pretty. God had to inspire this lady to write this. A stable. Now, our dear sisters this morning sang about that. That occasion. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a lowly birth. Enough for Him whom cherubim worship night and day, breasts full of milk and a manger of hay. A manger full of hay. Enough for Him whom angels fall before, the ox and ass and camel which adore. Angels and archangels may have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim thronged the air. But His mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshipped the Beloved with a kiss. What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give Him? And then she gives us the answer, right? Help me. Give Him my heart. Yeah, yeah. And it's so simple, but so profound, but so simple. those things I gave you out of the scriptures that God desires, that's what you can give him. And you give them from your heart. So she's just told us the same thing a different way. I hope that in this season here, we'll do that. We'll do that. The last thing I wanted to mention, I'll close with this, brethren. There's a writing in the below this verse, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. There's writing with a pen written in here in a little open space. And it's my writing. And it says CCPBC. That stands for Comfort Chapel Primitive Baptist Church. And then it has a date. It has 11/28/10. That means that on that date, 13 years ago, I stood before some people of God at Comfort Chapel Church in Waycross, and I preached from this verse. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the reason I mention that to you is, and I'll close with this, brethren, the reason I mention that is, Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift, is just as precious this instant as he was 13 years ago. He's the gift that's unspeakable. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And only God can be that. In December of 2010, I probably got a dozen gifts or more. I could not, if my life depended on it, tell you what a single one of those gifts was or where they are today. But the blessed thing is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I hope this season is the thing that forefront blessing and present and gift in your mind is God's unspeakable gift. If it is, all other things will fall into place. God bless what I've said. I pray to his honor and glory and to our edification. Oh Lord God, thank you for your unspeakable gift. Thank you for our being able to recognize it for what it is. Thank you for your word. May I have rightly divided it this morning. And may your unspeakable gift be forefront in our minds now and forevermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you desire home in the church, brethren, come forward as we stand and sing this hymn. And you'll be received in any way the gospel authorizes. Amen.